very easy to forget our blessings. We can become very complainful, and you know, it's easy to forget what God has given us and what God has done for us. I want to read a little something, and then I'm going to play a little video, and then I'm going to get to the message following the video. This is actually in the back of the Daily Bread that we have out there now, and I come across today reading it, and it goes along with my message tonight. It says, someone once said, life is like a wild goose chase without the goose. It can feel like a search for something that's always elusive. In the midst of the search, however, a book as trustworthy as the Bible assures us that the Creator of the universe cared so much for us that He came seeking after each of us. In a world of loneliness, despair, and rejection, the Bible offers hope and encouragement. In the words given to a blind beggar named Bartimaeus, which that's what we'll be talking about tonight, the story of blind Bartimaeus, cheer up, He's calling you. Yes, the Creator cares for you. With that awesome truth in mind, consider the words of the astronaut Guy Gardner, who said this about what he learned when he saw the marvels of the created universe in outer space. It's very hard to think, he said, this must have happened by chance. You realize the same time there had been a master designer, a creator of the planet. And to me, that makes life all the more special, because that tells me that instead of me being something that just came along in the course of time to live and to die, that instead of a meaningless existence, I have someone who cares for me, who has made me and cares about me, someone I can go to with my troubles, my cares, and my joys. If the Creator really does care for us and is seeking us, then everything now depends on our willingness to trust Him. He does care for us. He cares for our needs. He cares for our tears. See, God sees, we can put on a great face. We can come into church smiling and laughing and yee-hawing our way. But God sees the burden. And God sees the hurt. And God sees what you're really dealing with. God sees what you're carrying right now. He knows about the sleepless nights. He knows about, you know, the stressful days. He knows about decisions you've got to try to make. He knows the worry you care. God knows. Because God has very special vision. He sees inside of our heart. And with that said, I want Jeremy to play this video. It's called Magic Glasses. But just watch it. I think you'll get something out of it. Make sure the volume's up good on that.
Kid, every time I'm pulling out, he's right there. Man, and someone needs to talk to his parents, if they're ever at home. What is up with the traffic today? It's always, every day, this intersection's always crowded. I hate pulling out of here. We need some of these dumb roads. Oh, there's... Oh. Okay, so I'm not even here. Right. Great lady. The princess of parking. Sure. Take the spot. Way to be considerate. Oh. Are you kidding me? Unbelievable. Oh.
Thank you, ma'am.
About time. Let's see. What do I want?
Yeah. Could I add a cookie to that order?
Yeah, no problem.
Yeah. No problem, only guy in the world. I'm sure you need your cookie. The world... Your oyster, and he's serving your cookies.
Thank you so much.
Uh-huh.
What can I get for you?
Yeah, I'll have a tall decaf macchiato.
Yeah, sure, no problem. $3.85. And it might take a few minutes here. We've got quite a line, obviously, and thanks for your patience.
Great.
Yeah, great. Great for me. Waiting again. Unbelievable. What? What is... What is that? What in the world? Oh. What am I supposed to do? How can I do anything about that? Can I even help with that? I don't...
Your copy, sir. Oh.
I can't take this anymore. I gotta get out of here.
Hey, what? Hey, buddy, come here.
It's kind of an eye-opener, isn't it? Of what God sees in our lives. When we just see a smile. We see a person getting our parking space. We see somebody that's doesn't say hello to cash register, or, you know, there's real battles going on inside of our lives. And God sees those battles. And God cares, and God will never reject us at the point we are at. I've learned more and more to lean and trust in the Lord. I've had to. Because as we know, people will fail us. People will let us down. All of us. I've let people down. I mean, we've all done that. But God has never let us down. And God holds us up when we think we have fallen. God is exactly holding us. We think we are so overwhelmed. God says, I've got this. Just trust me. I see what you're carrying, and I see the pain. Every day we work with people. We pass people in the mall or downtown or wherever we're at that are fighting a lot of those issues. Bad divorce, rebellious child, addiction, sickness, a bad prognosis, a death of someone they love, going through something so hard. But God sees inside of our hearts, and with his loving nature says, I care for you. I care for you. And I want to meet your need where you're at. See, every season we battle different things. We make different things at different times. Like, you may need peace right now. God's got it. You may need encouragement. God's got it. You may need strength. God's got it. You may need the angels just to guard your home or keep that which is bad out. God can do that. God knows what we need. He knew what blind Bartimaeus needed in the book of Mark. And if you can go ahead and turn to Mark chapter 10, we'll read this story. I've not really read this myself in a long time. The story of blind Bartimaeus. He was a simple beggar, had no worth to society, had no value to contribute. He was a blind, homeless beggar who was simply, usually spent most of his days asking for alms. And something very special happened for this blind beggar. The Messiah passed his way. And Jesus, which is such a precious story, took time to meet his need. We think God won't meet our need because it's not important, or because of what we've done, or because of who we are. Or because, even this, we have this mentality. And I believe we reap what we sow. That's Bible. But we think because we're reaping something that we've sown, that God's not there to help us get through that process. But he is. Church, he is. Sure, we reap what we sow. But it doesn't mean God leads us through that sowing season. Man, God gives us strength to reap the harvest that we sowed. And get us through it. So we're not even alone in those bad seasons. Mark chapter 10, verse 45. This is actually Jesus, I think, speaking here, and this preludes the story of blind Bartimaeus, the first verse. I thought it was important to read this verse. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many. Jesus did not come on the earth at this point to be served. He came to serve mankind. He came to give himself up that many would be ransomed, including the next verse, including this guy that nobody paid attention to. And they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." Here's this blind beggar who's at a point of hopelessness, who is not afraid to cry out to Jesus and say, "Have mercy on me." Do you see me over here in the corner? I can't see you, but I know you're there. I'm blind in my eyes, but I'm not blind in my heart. I can see you, Jesus, clear as I could of my vision. I know you're passing my way. What he was saying is, I know that you got what I need, that you can make things better. You can fix me. You are my fix. Have mercy on me. The Bible says, Jesus says, "I will in no wise cast out, reject anyone that comes unto me." When we call on Jesus, he is not going to say, "No, you've done too much. I'm not listening to you. No, your problem doesn't matter. Go leave me alone. No, you made your bed. Lie in it. It's yours." He doesn't say any of those things. No matter what we've done, no matter what shape we've got our lives in, when we say, "God, I need mercy," his mercy will show up and heal us and help us in those darkest times we need him. Because we all go through dark seasons and dark lost times, grieving seasons. And sometimes they pile up. You know, I know Melanie battled a couple of close deaths in about a 3-year period. It was a very hard time. It's like it was all there together. It was stressful for her life, stressful for our family's life. A lot was happening during that time. And we go through that season. God held us up and held us together through that. We go through times, major times, bad times. We go through things in our home that we thought we would never see or experience, and we don't want to, but it comes. And God gives us mercy in those times to help us endure that storm. That's when we should see him the very most, is when we can't think we can't see him at all. That's when we should see him the very most. "God, I know you're here." There comes a point in our lives that we have to trust the Lord with it. It comes down to drawing a line saying, "God, I'm taking my hands off of it and asking for your mercy to come upon it. I can't fix it, but God, you can." Bartimaeus could not fix his condition. He was blind and could not see. He was a beggar. Had no friends, had no social life, had nowhere to live, was a nobody. Hundreds of people every day would pass him, just, "Oh, there's old Bart there," you know, with no regard, no honor, no respect. But he heard Jesus was passing his way, and he was bold enough to cry out to him. Next verse, look what the crowd did. You can't listen to people, church. Many charged him that he should hold his peace. They were fussing at him, "Man, be quiet. Don't be bothering him. That's Jesus Christ. That's the Messiah. He's got a lot of busy things to do, more important than talking to some beggar like you. He wouldn't stop and give you the time of day. Leave him alone. Just get out of his way. You're not worth his time. You're not worth his attention. You're not worth anything. You won't even matter. He won't even see you, Bartimaeus. What, are you kidding me? He won't even see you. He's on his way to do a lot. He's got stuff on his mind. He won't even see you." But as they try to tour him, look what he said. He cried the more, "A great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me." God, are you there? Then show up. God, are you there? I need you. God, are you there? I'm not giving up. I heard that you had compassion for those who are poor in spirit. God, I heard you healed the blind, the crippled. I heard you cared about all mankind. God, I heard that when you walked by, everything you touched changed and it wasn't left the same. Does that include me? God, does that really include a blind, homeless beggar that nobody cares about? Can you touch me that way? That's what he was crying out, and he didn't want to let go of it because he knew that was his only hope. his only chance to get what he needed. There comes a point in our lives, God is our only hope. We run out of answers. We run out of energy. We run out of time. We just run out. We're like, God, I don't know where to go from here. And you know what God says? Thank you. I'll take it from here. I've been trying to do it all alone, if you'll just let me. His mercy touches every person that cries out for it. Now, people aren't that forgiving. People aren't that loving. People will hold things against you for life. You're a lifer to some people. I mean, they'll take it to the grave and not forgive you. I mean, there's some people so bitter and cold, they'll be 6 feet under. And you're putting flowers on top of the ground saying, they've been dead 10 years. And they're like, I hate you died not forgiving me. And, you know, you're still trying to cry out for mercy. And all of a sudden a sign comes out the dirt, still not forgiving. I mean, that's just how something, you know what I'm saying, to be a little drastic. But we just take it. But God isn't like that. God will never, we say, God have mercy on me. He's never going to turn us away. Ever. See, that's a love that's beyond our natural human thinking, to think God's not going to turn away from us. Now, we turn away from him a lot. We reject his plan, reject his word, reject his truth, reject his spirit. But he never rejects us. He doesn't walk away from us. He cried out again. Let's see what happens. And Jesus stood still. It calls attention. And commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. Wow. Everyone here tonight, you're here. You're here. Even the children may not even realize it yet, some of the children. But you're here because God called you. Because God's got his hand on you. Not by accident, not by chance, because God's called your name, and you're supposed to be his. Those he's not called aren't anxious about being in church on Sunday night. But you're called. He knocked on your heart one day and showed you mercy. When you were blind to his truth, he opened your eyes. When you were blind in your rebellion, he opened your eyes. When you were blind in your rejection, he opened your eyes. When you stood there and taking alms of the world and collecting all the world had to offer, but yet you was empty, he passed your way and says, you ready to dump all that junk and let me have your life? You said, yes, thank you, God. He called you out and said, rise up and let it all go and follow me. You know, I think about the rich man, the story of the rich man, how, you know, what he missed out on. When he had an offer for eternal life, and he said, I've kept the commandments, God. What else you want me to do? Jesus, I've kept all the commandments. What do you want me to do? He said, sell what you have and follow me. The Bible said the man was sad because he was very rich. And he couldn't let go of it. He couldn't let go of what the world had given him to follow what Jesus wanted to give him. He couldn't exchange it. And he went away sorrowful. Everything in this world passes away except the mercy of God. That goes on forever and ever. Because when his mercy finds you and touches you and forgives you, it's a done deal. That goes with you the rest of your days. You walk in a state of forgiveness. I'm forgiven by the blood of Jesus. I am forgiven. I can have peace all my days. I can have joy all my days because I know what's waiting on me. Though life is hard, I'm telling you, life is hard. We are being pressed on every side. You can feel the pressure of society and the world and the moral value and the collapse of that. You can just feel the pressure. You can feel the spirits roaming the earth trying to destroy God's seed, trying to come in and tear down God's seed. You can feel that pressure. You can feel that demonic warfare. If you can't, something's not right because it's out there fighting, battling continually. But in that battle, I can have great joy because God has accepted me and he's got me. He's got my back through my storms and through that demonic warfare and through any trial that would come my way. The strength of God is enough for any blind moment where I cannot see which way to go. The master is there telling me, just rise up and follow me. I'm calling you out and leading you out of this darkness. I'm not going to leave you there. I'm bringing you out. For I am the light that is in you, and my light will not be silenced. It will not be darkened by anything that comes against you. My light is brighter. My light of mercy, my light of truth, my light of peace and joy. My light is more powerful than any darkness and any storm that ever anchors in your life. Ever. Can I get amen in church tonight? That's good preaching, church. Ain't because I'm doing it. That's just good word. Blind Bartimaeus had no social standing to call upon Jesus. And the world will tell us, you're not worth his time. You're not worth what you've done, where you've been, all your mistakes and all your failures. You really think it's going to hear you? I mean, you really think it's going to care about you? There's 7 billion people in the world, and you cry out for mercy, sure he's going to hear that. He will. There's not a voice that's uttered to his ears he doesn't hear. There is not a prayer we call out he doesn't understand. There's not a battle we're enduring he doesn't see. There's not any weight we're carrying he doesn't know. Nothing. He is there for us. And sometimes it takes us spending that time with God, getting rejuvenated, getting re-strengthened. And God's giving us those words. I know you can't see it now, but just trust me. Just trust me. And have peace in your storm. You know, we can make fun of Peter and the disciples now on that boat because it's history for us. We can make fun of them, actually, don't we? The storm comes, they're on the boat, there's Jesus, and they get afraid. They think they're going to die. And they go wake them up. Master, Master, we're dying. You're down here sleeping. Are you kidding me? Hello, we're perishing. No faith. No faith that they were going to cross to the other side. That's easy to pick out and say, man, if I was on a boat and I had Jesus, I wouldn't be afraid. I mean, Jesus Christ is on the boat, for heaven's sake. Really? You think he'll let anything happen? But you know what? There was a storm with their eyes they saw. And that storm they saw overrode the faith they had. And you know what? In our lives, we have storms. And people may think, man, Connie, just have faith. Amanda, just have faith. Chastity, just trust God. That's easier said than done, isn't it? When it really comes down to it, it's easier said than done. When you lose someone that you prayed for to live and they die, that's a hard place to be. When you lose your job and it's, you know, you don't know which way to turn, that's a bad place to be. When there's something in your marriage that's trying to tear it apart and you find yourself there, it's easier to say that than do it. But it's in those moments that God wants us the most to trust him, that in those dark moments when we can't see, like Bartimaeus couldn't, that we can hear his voice calling us out. Just follow my voice, and I'll lead you out. I'll lead you out of this pit, and I'll lead you out of this hole. So he calleth them. And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. Notice the beggar had a garment on, which is probably very precious to a homeless person to have this garment. This is very symbolic of several things. One thing I think it's symbolic of is he wasn't going to need it no more. I'm casting this off to get a new garment. As grandma sings that song. May have you sing it in closing if you'll sing it. You got the words of that song? That coat song? Do you have it with you? Okay, you look for that. Grandma sings a song like that. I trade in the old coat for a new coat. He cast off that garment, realizing, believing, I'm not going back to this. There's something else waiting on me. Also, I think it represents that a garment they wore, you know, was long, and he didn't want anything. He didn't want a trip, didn't want in the way. He got rid of it so he could freely walk to Jesus and not have any stumbling block, not have any hindrance. The devil continues to put hindrances in front of our lives to keep us from getting to God, or trying to keep us from getting to God. Doubts, fears, anger, blaming God, all that stuff we do. Obstacles, hindrances to keep us from trying to get to God. Even excuses. But the devil cannot keep us from getting to God if God is calling us. It's just that simple. If God's calling, he wins. We're going to come. He rose and came to Jesus. Next verse, Jeremy. Thank you. And Jesus answered and said to him, "What will that I should do unto you?" It may seem strange why Jesus asked. Well, he wanted need to be made known. He could have wanted something else. I mean, Jesus knew, of course, but he needed him to speak out his need and to ask and tell God what he needed. The blind man said unto him, "Lord, I want to receive my sight." And Jesus said unto him, "Go thy way. Thy faith hath made you whole." And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. He left the old garment and put on a new garment. He left darkness and left with sight. He left not seeing and left seeing very clearly, not only physically, but spiritually as well. He was made whole, completely transformed, completely changed. He did not let the crowd keep him from going to Jesus. He didn't let the pressure of society make him think he was unworthy. He called out to the Master, "Can you touch me? Am I worth it?" And Jesus stopped what he was doing and said, "Rise up and come to me," and took time to heal him, took time to touch his life, took time to make him whole, because Jesus cares about us. You know, the devil, we talked this morning about the lies of the devil and how he attacks us, those lies in our mind. And if we're not careful, we'll believe those lies more than we believe the truth. And we'll think that the fear and the worry and the lies become more powerful than the love and the peace and the truth of God's word. And we start living our lives under the condemnation of the devil and not the liberation of God. It's a very important thing we not do that, because those lies keep us in a lie, and the truth sets us free. Thank God that he, this blind beggar, had enough fortitude to just cry out to Jesus, "Have mercy." You know what showed me about my Savior and your Savior? That he has compassion on anyone that calls his name. Don't have to be rich or have a position or have a certain name or a title or a status. I'll touch anyone that calls on me. Any child, boy, girl, man, woman, whoever calls on my name, I'll hear them. It's a precious story to me that all these years, we don't know how old he was here, don't know how many years he was, you know, a beggar. We don't know any of that. But we know that was what he was known as. That was who he was labeled as. And can you imagine his eyes opening up and seeing the world for the first time? Assuming the first time, maybe not, but seeing the world, knowing Jesus passed his way. And what did it speak to those around Jesus? What did it say to them? "My Lord, he talked to that beggar. He healed that beggar." Because, you know, in the Jewish law, a lot of times they believe that you were, they thought he was probably blind because of some sin he'd done, something wrong he had did. And, you know, and like, wow, Jesus healed him. And, you know, he was cursed with that. He deserved that. And Jesus healed him. And it altered all their thinking. Jesus cares for you. And he has those glasses you saw in the video in our lives that he sees in here what we're battling. And if we could look at each other that way and look behind the smiles, look behind the eyes, and understand that every person we see is facing a battle. You know, I think about Tim and how most time when you see Tim, he's pretty joking and smiling. And he's a cut-up. But Tim, I bet you got some battles in your life you're facing, aren't you? Some things that you have to fight. Doesn't matter what the outside shows. Every one of us inside are struggling with something. And we're battling something. Every one of us. And we can be fake to each other. Tim can walk in here, "Hey, Living Word, how y'all doing? Dog, come see y'all. Everything going good? Yeah, life's great. Life's great." And his mind thinking, "My God, my life's going to hell in a handbasket. Life's great. Life's great." You know what? We don't have to try to pretend with God, because he already knows. You know, I said this morning, and I have done this in my own life, that when you feel the enemy attacking your life, begin to call on the name of the Lord. And it will change. Change. I mean, it'll be an immediate change as you call upon the name of the Lord in that moment and make Him the Lord. You know, when the Bible says Jesus Lord, we always associate that with, well, He's Lord of Lord, which means He's over all the kings, over all the princes, over the devil. I mean, He's Lord of all people, of all entities, of all titles. Yes. But you know what else He's Lord over? All fear, all worry, all stress, all anguish, all sickness, all defeat, all discouragement. He's Lord over all those things too. He's over all of those things. So if we are surrendering to the hand of God, then all those things we're battling are smaller than God, which means we should let God have those things, that we can be free of those things. Give them to God. Sounds so simple, but it's so hard. We'll be free one day and chained again the next day. We'll be free at 2 o'clock. I'll be chained by 5. Happens that quick sometimes, don't it? We're coming home down the road. And I feel good, good, good. And 3 hours later, we're back in prison because of the attack of the enemy. The enemy's not going to leave you alone because you saved. He's not going to. I'm going to tell you, he's attacking every person. And he attacks Christians not to steal our soul, but to steal our joy and our families and our peace and our mind. That's what he's trying to destroy and get all of that out of there. He's a roaming like a lion, seeking, after, roaring, devouring. But Jesus is Lord over him. He's Lord over his attacks. He's Lord over all the weapons of the enemy. He's Lord over all of those things. There's no weapon, the Bible says, formed against us that can prosper because God's over all the arsenal. He's over all the weaponry. He's Lord of all. Of all. Of every affliction, every problem, every complication. He's Lord of all. Debbie Treadway, most of you know Debbie Treadway, who does the cards for the church, your birthday cards, Christmas cards. She had surgery Thursday down at Baptist. And God's hand was really on her because she had to have surgery and had some things. She had actually lost 140 pounds before the surgery. Not even being hardly mobile, she lost 140 pounds, which is a miracle in itself. And they did some surgery to get rid of the excess weight she had lost. And they said that she could be, this kind of surgery, she'd be there the minimum 7 to 8 days, or 5 to 7 days, I think it said, minimum. But most people with anywhere from 2 to 4 to 5 weeks. She had surgery Friday, actually, not Thursday, had it Friday, but to come home tomorrow. That's amazing. That is the hand of God. That is God being bigger than the battle that was before her. That's God being bigger. Since she came through the surgery with flying colors. And I give God glory for that. That's the hand of our God that's over everything. Update you on Bob, too. I announced Bob this morning. I talked to him this afternoon. He's home as well. It was not a heart issue. His kidneys were kind of shutting down. So they got him going back upward. His blood pressure was sky high and his sugar was really high. So they told him, of course, to change it, you know, eat better and take care of yourself. But he is home. So continue to pray for Bob. That's a good report. He was back home. But this story to me shows that the compassion of Jesus, he truly did accept anyone that would come to him. But a lot of us Christians don't accept each other the way we are. A lot of judging going on. Don't dress like me. Don't look like me. Don't live like I'm used to living. But Jesus didn't do that. As soon as this blind man called out to him, he heard his voice and recognized him. And says, I hear you. Come on. What can I do for you today? You know how we should be as Christians? What can I do for you today? What can I do for you? You know, if somebody's being a biddy, somebody's just being a jerk, there's probably a good reason why they are. They're battling something. There's something going on in their lives. Something happening. So instead of just calling them a jerk and going off mad and talking about them all day, still telling everybody at work for 8 hours, man, the woman at Burger King drive-thru, and we tell the whole office that. Why don't we look at that woman? Are you okay today? Yeah, why? Just seem a little on edge and just, are you okay? Can I do something for you? You talking about melting? That'll melt somebody. There's a reason people are that way. They're battling something. We're all battling something. This blind man was battling blindness and begging his whole life, and Jesus passed his way and touched him. Put on your glasses starting tomorrow as you go out of your house and begin to see deeper in the lives of those around you. And stop labeling those for being the way they are. There's a reason they're the way they are. Let's see if we can bring healing to that reason. Let's see if we can help them. Maybe they're carrying such a load that they're about to give up. There could be people on the brink of suicide that you see every day. And if you just take the time to see a little bit deeper, you may could save their life. Listen to what God says. I was at Dr. Kearney's one day, this is about a year ago, and I was out in the parking lot, and I was talking to someone out on the sidewalk, and they were talking about, they had some issues going on. They went and sat down against the brick wall on the sidewalk. And God just spoke to me to write a few words, a piece of paper, not say a word, just go hand it to them. So I just wrote down a few words, went and handed it to the person and walked away. That's all God told me to do. The person thanked me later and said it meant a lot. It spoke to him. If we'll just listen to the voice of God and just let Him use us to reach out, do you realize that we as a body are the ones that are supposed to bring healing to those that are sick? We're the body. We're the hands. We're the mouth. We're the feet. We're the voice. If not us, who? If not the church, where? Where's it happen at? They're not going to find what they need in bars and clubs. They're going to find it among God's people. And I'm telling you, something's shifting in our nation spiritually, and there's going to be a real hunger and a draw of people getting somewhere where the power of the Holy Ghost is alive. I'm not talking about bubblegum messages and popular theology. There's coming a pressure in this generation that people are going to have nowhere to go, and they're going to be begging for men and women of God that can lay their hands on them and still feel the power of the Holy Ghost. Not a patty cake message. That may be flourishing right now. We're seeing that happening now. We're seeing that boom. And I'm telling you, and I sense this, that there's been a shifting away from that. Aren't you seeing less and less men, less and less preachers and pastors that are carrying that mantle of the anointing of the Holy Ghost? I am. I'm seeing less of that. It's so just a comfortable teaching, just a middle-of-the-road message, but not deliverance. We are fighting demonic warfare. We're not fighting each other. We're not fighting the government. We're not fighting terrorists in the flesh. We're fighting demonic warfare. And unless we are armed with the power of the Holy Ghost, we are not equipped to fight and to stand and to destroy the works of the enemy against our lives. It takes us rising up and recognizing what we're fighting and who we're fighting. And not being just sucked into just a comfortable place spiritually. There's going to be a flocking of people to the house of God where the Word and the power of the Holy Spirit is still moving. You mark my words. It's coming. It's coming. I've had people, and this is no credit to me. It's what I stand for. It's what God's doing to me to do. Because there's a lot of things I know I'm not called to do. There's a lot of things I don't teach. There's a lot of things God doesn't have me in those places. But the one thing I do know God has done in my life, He's anointed me to preach the gospel. And He's equipped me to speak to people's lives through the Holy Spirit, and things change. Not me, but the power of the Holy Spirit in me. That I know. And church, I wouldn't change that for all the smarts in the world, for all the deep revelation that some can teach and for the fancy words they can use. Just give me Jesus. Just give me the Holy Spirit. That's all that I need. If I've got the Holy Ghost, I've got all that I need. It's all that we need to bring healing and deliverance and to set the captives free and to save our children and our grandchildren. That's all that we need is the Holy Ghost. I believe in good teaching. I believe we need to know what the Word of God says, but not at the cost of giving up the anointing. Not that cost. And that's why many are running away from churches like this. Because. But here's the thing. Very shortly, they'll be running back. Because the hardships that are attacking homes and families, they're going to need help. I mean real help. And they're going to need something they can believe in that's bigger than themselves. And I'm telling you, I had a guy I worked with at the food line a few years ago. He knew I was a pastor, and he needed some things. Said, "Can I come talk to you?" And he don't even go really go to church. He said, "But I want you to pray with me." So we met over here at the church about 3 years ago. We met here at the church. A young guy in his early 20s. And he was going through a lot of things. So I broke out the oil, and I explained to him what the oil represented, because he didn't know anything. So I'm going to anoint you with oil, symbolic of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to lay my hands on your head and go pray for you. And when we got done praying, like I said, he's not even churched. He doesn't know, have any spiritual understanding of anything. But when we got done praying, he kept going, "Whew, whew." I said, "What's wrong? I feel so weak. All of a sudden, I feel like all my strength has just left." I said, "It has. All your strength has left." I said, "God has taken the load off." He said, "I've never felt this. I've never, ever felt what I felt just now. What is that?" He was so mesmerized. Why am I feeling? I think it spooked him a little bit. Did you put a spell on me or something? I mean, I don't know. I feel weird. He even told me, I can't even drive. Can I just wait? I can't get in the car. Can I just sit here and wait a little bit? I said, "That's fine. Wait." I mean, he was almost like just in a drunken state. Because God had touched him in a magnificent way. Many of you have felt that touch. You know what I'm talking about. There's no greater touch than that. And some folks don't want to touch a 10-foot pole like that. That's why most of y'all sit in the back row. don't touch me that way. Y'all know it's the front row. This church is always the emptiest, the front row. Don't touch me like that. I don't want none of that, Pastor. But man, that changes everything. Oh, changes everything. It's awesome. Sam has felt it. Sierra has felt it. Angela's felt it. Many has felt it. Man, it's nothing like it. To feel that overwhelming presence of God. Because he cares for you. And when we call out to him, he answers our prayer. Church, he answers it. It may not be the way we want, but I promise you, he answers it. And sometimes things are in different seasons. We have to wait on God. You know, I don't know how long he had been blind. It doesn't say, like I said, it doesn't say how old he was. But you know what? His season came. His season finally came. To where Jesus passed his way and called his name out. Our seasons may vary, but our season will come. And for all of you in here, your season has come or is on the way into your life for him to really call your name. Or you wouldn't be here. I'm thankful God cares for my need. I'm thankful he's not limited his touching grace to those in certain positions. I'm thankful he took my old garment off. And not just the one garment of salvation, but every time I get discouraged, he can take that garment off and cover me with encouragement. Every time I'm so down and fallen, God can take that garment off and put a new garment and say, "Rise from your ashes." Every time I'm in such a dark season, God shows up without fail with his flashlight to lead me out. Here I am again. Just follow me. I'm leading you out. We need, church, I feel this coming. We need the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives every day for what's coming against this nation and against the lives and against the church. I know some of you are rose-colored glasses. And I'm not talking doom and gloom as a negative thing. I'm talking about what is coming. The pressure of the enemy trying to destroy and disrupt your life to the point you can't function. You ever been there? To the point you couldn't function with discouragement, stress, fear. You couldn't function. You couldn't even get out of the bed. You couldn't even face the day. The devil paralyzed you. He paralyzed your life that day or those weeks or those months or however long you were in. He paralyzed you and he kept you crippled to your own issues. And then Jesus finally come your way. Or we finally called out to him, whichever. And took all that off of us. And gave us a new garment to wear. And held us. And loved us. I have felt attacks in my life more since this church started than I ever had before. And I think Melanie would attest to that. There have been more attacks, more issues since this church started than ever before. We had some problems before, but it's like since this church has been here for the last 10 years of our lives, there's just things over and over, just attacks over and over and over. Attacks. And see, I realize that the enemy doesn't want this local church or me to keep preaching. Only Melanie and my mom know the times I have been so discouraged the last 10 years I wanted to stop. I called Tim Sigmund. Hey, brother, you want church? Let Tim preach for a while. See how you like that. You'll be begging for me back. I just play it to you. It's not because of y'all. It's because of the attack of the enemy on my life. And just the times of, God, it'd just be so much easier. And we've talked many times. But you know what? God's in this. And God's not going to let it go. And he's not going to let me go. So we keep on marching forward. The old song, Onward Christian Soldiers. Marching for the Lord. Whatever it is. Thank you, Jesus. You got them words, Grandma? Come on up here. I want her to sing this song. Some of you hadn't heard this song. It's my little grandma singing. It's a beautiful song. I love this song. Is it called Coat of Many Colors? Two Coats. Yeah, it's called Two Coats. Listen to the words of this song. It's just got a great message to it. Do you want to? Whatever's easier for you. Testing. 1, 2. 1, 2. We don't want you to get too crippled. You can go ahead and say a word. What's on your heart, Grandma? I know you got something to say.
Well, I went visiting this morning. I played hooky. I'd been aiming to for weeks, but seemed like every time there'd be something here going on, I wouldn't want to miss. But anyway, I hadn't sung this for a long time, so I desire your prayers. Just listen to the words of it. I love it because I just love the words of some songs. I love all Christian songs and gospel singing because I found out a long time ago that if we get in our mind and pay attention to what it's actually saying, right, we'll be blessed from it.
Yes.
Two coats were before me, one old and one new. I could have either, so what must I do? One coat was ugly, all tattered and torn. The other, a new coat that had never been worn. The first coat was earthly and not fit to wear. I thought of it often and shed many tears. Then there was a clean one presented to me. I laid off the old coat and I put on the new. I'll tell you the best thing I ever did do 'Cause when I laid off the old coat and I put on the new. Now I like this part of it. The first coat was earthly and made from the ground. I bore his image the whole world around. The next was my Savior from heaven so fair. He gave me this new coat that you now see me wear. Yes. Now this coat, it fits me and it keeps me so warm. It stood through the winter and it stood through the storms. My Savior, he filled me with glory. My Savior, he dressed me with garments so rare. He filled me with his glory and his image I'll bear. I'll tell you the best thing I ever did do was when I laid off the old coat and I put on the new. I'll tell you the best thing I ever did do was when I laid off the old man and I put on the new. I'm going to sing that last part again. Now this coat, it fits me and it keeps me so warm. It stood through the winter and it stood through the storms. My Savior, he dressed me in garments so rare. With his glory, his image I'll bear. I'll tell you the best thing I ever did do was when I laid off the old man and I put on the new. I'll tell you the best thing I ever did do was when I laid off the old coat and I put on the new. I really like that. The new coat, it keeps you warm. All the troubles and the heartaches and the battles and the trials you go through, if you just cuddle up to Jesus, that new coat, it'll keep you warm. I tell you, he's done me, Brother James, a lot of times. A lot of times when it seemed like that I really couldn't go on, I could just feel Jesus' arms around me. And that's what that new coat represents. When Jesus is there and you feel him, and you feel his love and you feel his presence and you know he's there with you no matter how rough the way might get. No matter how, and I know I've failed many times, but you know that light just pulls me right back and I just praise God for everything. I'm sorry I made so many mistakes, but I hadn't sung it for a long time enough. Anyway, I hope you got the message.
Good job.
Glory to God. Put on the new coat. Aren't you glad? Bradley, I hate y'all got here a little late tonight, man. You'd have been on time Wednesday night. But anyway, you got a little word, I hope. So, glad to see y'all. I knew you thought Star 7. I seen you come in. I hate that. That happens every now and then to folks. But, Tim, good to see you in the house tonight, brother. You got anything on your heart? Anything you want to say or just any testimony or just good to see you, man. Just good. So the preacher calls you now, you come on up, right? That's funny. I know. Good to see you, Tim. You too, Ivy. That pretty blonde hair. Getting long. Congratulations, Ivy. It's awesome. Give her a hand. That is awesome. All right. Well, great to see y'all tonight. We're going to say a prayer over our offering and give you a chance to come give your offering and tithes tonight if you have something to give to God. If you'll stand with us as we pray over that. I will in a minute. Thank you for reminding me of that. Lord, we thank you for this word tonight that we've read that reminds us that no matter who we are, what we've done, what station in life we're at, that you hear us when we say, Lord, have mercy on us. That you don't turn a deaf ear, you don't snub, you don't reject us, but you embrace us, Jesus, and you extend your love and your mercy to us no matter where we're at, no matter what we've done. In our darkness, you are the light. In our sickness, you are the healing. In our pain, you are the deliverance. We thank you for that, Jesus. We thank you for that new coat that we absolutely are at the end of our rope. You step in and you strengthen us. Lord, we ask your blessing on the seed that we sow tonight as we bring our offering to this altar to present it to you, God. We present it to you. We're giving unto you what you have blessed us with. And we know in return you will take that seed and use it for your glory to enhance your kingdom and to take care of us in your economy, not the earth's, but in your economy. Thank you for all that you've done. We ask your blessings on this seed tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. If you have something to give.